All right, if you'll open the Word of God to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. We are about to close up the Lord's Prayer, and then we will move toward the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and got some things I want to do to kind of get us into that section of study. But I really have thoroughly enjoyed studying the prayer of Jesus Christ, learned a lot about prayer and about our Lord. And so before we start, let's talk about some prayer. And first, of course, let's be in prayer for Thomas. Leslie, do you have a current update on Thomas? Has been going to school every day this week? Good, okay. So we'll just continue to be in prayer that the Lord will strengthen Thomas and get him through all these things that that he's going through. Any other prayer requests that I need to? Yes.
Two friends of mine and me are thinking about the starting a Bible study club at work.
Okay.
There is no bylaw or rule against it at work, but no one has ever done that. And
well, we'll find out if there is one.
Yeah, all three of us are new. I mean, we're talking about 3 months old at work, so we just would like to put in the prayer, see if God willing that and we don't get in trouble.
Good. Very good. I love that. And so we will definitely be in prayer as far as the timing and the people that will come to that that wouldn't come to a church. And well, what are y'all doing and what's it about? Okay, I think I'd like to come to that. That'd be very good. We'll be in, definitely be in prayer. Thank you very much, Jerry. And I'll be in prayer. Yes. Okay. Absolutely. Be in prayer for the travel, safety there, and safety back. Absolutely. And then the spiritual momentum of whatever's going on there. Very good. About how many are going?
10
of us. 10? Okay. Counting you two?
I guess 12. We've got two more.
Okay. So about 12. All right. Good. We'll definitely be in prayer. That's very good. And the slam is March
30th.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, it is. And any other prayer requests? Yes.
Pastor Ray, who a lot of y'all know from camp last summer.
Yes.
She has been praying about starting a Bible study with some women, not just from her church, but women that she knows. And they're doing a study of Psalms. And she's kicking that off tonight with 18 women.
Wow.
Ask for prayer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Where does she live?
In Colorado.
Colorado, so she's an hour behind us. Okay, well, about starting then. Okay, we'll be in prayer. Any other prayer requests? Okay, I like these requests. Yes. Yeah, we don't have a limit.
My brother, Tom, has been in Okinawa. He's prayed for the Lord. He just got orders. No, they haven't officially cut. They told him he's going to Virginia, Fort Belvoir.
Oh, wow.
Wow,
good.
My brother and his wife and my nephew.
Very good. Wow, all right. How long has he been over there? Okay.
3 years.
How much longer does he have on this tour?
He's been on his tour.
His service.
He's been in
14
years. 14? Yep, and he's going to be a drill sergeant.
Oh. Oh, wow. Wow. I always felt drill sergeants or people that were just frustrated in life and they found some people they can take it out on. They can't say anything back. Huh?
There you go.
And they can't say anything back to you? Oh. Man. We're out there hollering at night, see who can out-drill the other. That'll be good. The kids will really learn a lot. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer as we continue in the study of the Lord's Prayer. Father, we do not grow tired of thanking you for your word that you have worked and functioned all through history, the writing of the Word, the preservation, the compilation, then the preservation through the church age, the invention of the printing press. And just write down today, Father, where people can pick up a Bible in most Western countries and just drugstores. But Father, we're thankful for the Holy Spirit that opens our eyes to the truth of what's going on in it. We thank you, Father, that your Spirit has recorded for us the Lord's Prayer. Pray that you'll be with us tonight and guide us to see things that were on his mind moments before the journey to the crucifixion began. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, we meet, and we're going through the Old Testament right now. We've gone through introduction, now we're going through the Old Testament. And we're having a really wonderful time going through the Old Testament. And Kip was telling me this last week, he said, "Boy, I found something really great. We just studied the book of Haggai, and just a phenomenal book." And he was relating some things he learned in Haggai with the Lord's Prayer in John 17. And I said, "Hey, would you mind sharing it with us on Wednesday night? Because I'm not going to do that." And so come on up, Kit, and share with us what you've got from Haggai that relates to John 17.
I like to move around a little bit. I got my hand out over here, but it's all marked up, and I didn't have time to make copies, so I apologize. But I gave you something to look at. Well, I only got the iPad here. But when I want to put a smile on my face or I need a spiritual uplift, I look at a video on YouTube. I don't know if you can... No? Yeah. Yes. I like the wow, and that's that, for some of this stuff that on Haggai, I guess I had that. That's why I played that, because it was like wow for me. Now, you may not have the same reaction. Well, that's fine. Reading God's word is a blessing in itself, but I thought I'd share what was important for me or joyous for me that I'm finding in Haggai. Herman talks about jewels in Scripture. So we were going through Haggai, and I said, "Well, I'm going to go gem hunting. I'm going to find some gems." So I went in there, and I found one that I really enjoyed. Was "I will be with you." A lot of times in the Old Testament, you think, "Well, it's about condemnation and judgment and people dying," but God's grace is all through the Old Testament, and sometimes you just got to right here, and so. For me, it was the first one was "I am with you," but looking at a couple of commentators, someone had already been there and found three others that I really enjoyed. And then I started looking at them and said, "Well, that's kind of like John." So I'll read the items from Haggai, but if you get ready in John 17 is where I'm going to end up. And the four divine affirmations, as this commentator said, was "I will be glorified." That sounds familiar. "I am with you." "I have chosen you, and I will bless you." And for me, that provided a handle on John 17. I was kind of grappling with kind of having some way to. Herman was saying, "Well, we're going to review John 17," and well, yeah, he's got some of this, he's got the glory, and he's got all kinds of different things in there, but I needed something, and this doesn't do everything in John 17, but for me, it kind of gave me something to hold on to. So, I will be glorified in Haggai 1:8. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. Now, Haggai was written after some of the people that were in the exile. He'd come back to Judah, and the temple was destroyed. So they needed to rebuild it. And that they started, then they stopped because they got disappointed, or there were people around them trying to keep them from building the temple. And so Haggai and Zechariah were sent by the Lord to, let's get going, people. I want to build the temple. So that's the background for Haggai. And here, God will be glorified. And then later on he says, I am with you, 1:13. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you, declares the Lord. Also in 2:4, but now take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all you people of the land, take courage, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. Now, I put the chosen and blessed kind of in different order here, but I have chosen you, which is actually to Zerubbabel, I believe, in 2:23. On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant, declares the Lord, and I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. And then, finally, I will bless you in 2:19. Is the seed still in the barn, even including the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree? It has not borne fruit yet. From this day on, I will bless you. Now, as I read those, I said, wow, that sure is like John. So then I started going in John 17. I said, well, I found this here, and this here, and this here. So that helped me put things together. So I'll go through those four divine affirmations and kind of point out where in John 17... You see, obviously, glorified right from the very beginning. And I'll start there with glorified in John 17:1. Jesus is speaking. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. 17:4. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. 17:5. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. 17:10. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. Now here's the one that really got me. 17:22. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Well, in the Old Testament, God is glorified. But all of a sudden, because we are in Christ, we get some glory. Because we're in Christ, because of His glory. Wow. Just like the girl said. I am with you. There was a neat master's dissertation starts out, the Bible speaks of God as dwelling with man. So, all through the Old Testament and the New Testament, God is always there. He didn't just create the universe and then walk away. He is with us. Whether it's Old Testament manifestations like the angel of Jehovah, or the tabernacle, the temple, always there's a presence of God. And that was kind of the reason behind Haggai wanting the temple built, because that's a representative of God among His people. And of course, in the church age, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, union with Christ. And so that shows up in John 17 as well, in 17:21, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. 17:23, I in them and you in me, so that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. 17:24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Then I have chosen you. Oh, and back with the, I am with you, again, it's a greater magnitude that we have in the New Testament than in the Old Testament. Like I was saying before, with glorify, we are now in Christ and share that glory. Christ is with us, but in us. They did not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. They did not have union with Christ. And so we have a magnitude greater than what was in the Old Testament. Yeah, I have chosen you. Now, you won't. I don't know that you'll see the word chosen so much here, but I found that we are like a possession of God. He's chosen us, and we are His possession, prized possession, if you will. 17:2. Even as you gave Him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given Him, He may give eternal life. 17:6. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. 17:9. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those you have given me, for they are yours. 17:11. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. And 17:24, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. And again, we're not just chosen, but we are the possession. I think it's in John 10 where we are in His hand and nobody's going to get us out of His hand. We have an illustration of eternal security. And the final one, I will bless you. Again, it doesn't necessarily come out with the word bless, but he has given, joy, there's the love. I'll just go over some of these. 17:8. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them truly, truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. We were given the word. 17:13. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. Seventeen, 19. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. We receive sanctification. 17:23. I and them, and you and me. Again, some of these passages have multiple connections with these four concepts. 23. I am them, and you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, that so the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. There's the love, which is I consider that a blessing. God loving us intimately, compared to we're not just part of the world. We are His possession. We are His children. We are His family. He loves us. And finally, 17:26, again the love. And I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. For me, this is almost like the plan of God, stated in a way that God is glorified in His creation, God shepherds His creation, God chooses those who trust in Him, election, the concept of election, and God blesses those who trust Him. So in a sense, that's the plan of God from Haggai over to the Gospel of John. I guess you could say, if you're given the gospel, sometimes we talk about having a personal relationship with God. Well, here's personal relationship. another, you can use these words, and tremendous blessing in Christ. And like the little girl said, okay, that's all. Thank you. Thank you.
If you're going to keep that up. Very good. And what I love is how people used, all through the Old Testament and the New Testament, the reality of it. And that was just really super to be able to see all of those things. Okay, let's look at John 17. We're in verse 24. And Father, those you have given me. Remember, in the original language, that's the first thing that was said. Those you've given me, I desire. This is the only time in the prayer that he desired. Other times I petition, I ask this, I desire. That where I myself am, these also may be with me, in order that they may behold my glory, which you have given to me. And the reason you gave it to me, you loved me before the foundation of the world. Now, I want you to look at verse 22. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them. People, that's a powerful phrase. That's a powerful concept. I don't care where we are on this earth, how poor, how rich, how whatever, to think that in that eternal body, we're going to have His glory. And I've got to share with you, and most of you come to it, but I want you to see it all together. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that we're studying right now in, on Sunday morning. And verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, but we do speak, but we speak a God, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom. Now we're looking at what all this means, which God predestined before the ages. Now look at these last three words, to our glory. People just, and I don't know if it's my age, but there's just so much to look forward to in the next world. They're just so, it's so powerful. And as far as the glory is concerned. Now, last time, we spent some time on the glory of the Lord. Tonight, what I want to do is look at glory in an eschatological preeminence. Now let me spell it, then we'll explain it. Eschatological. Eschatological. Preeminence. Now what is eschatology? It's a 50-cent word, and it means that area of theology, that area of Bible study, that is concerned with the future or with end events. Final events, the final destiny of mankind. And what we're going to look at is our final state, our state of existence for all eternity. We ask the question, what is heaven like? Well, let's take a look now in the glory in an eschatological, or if you want to just shorten it, glory in the final stage of our existence. So, point one, Jesus Christ is given glory from God the Father. Now, a couple weeks ago, Chris, you asked, did God give him back his glory that he had laid down? If nowhere is he giving back his deity and these things. And in the context here, we're dealing with the humanity. dealing with the humanity of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ is given glory from God the Father for his incarnation, death, resurrection, ascension, and session. He's given him this glory for those things. John 17, 22, and 24. Now, point two. Jesus Christ, in turn, and, you know, I just spent a lot of time, that shows you the relationship of the Father and the Son. Now, I don't know that we're going to get to it tonight, but I want you to understand, God gave him this glory out of his love. Remember, you got to relate, you love me, you gave me this glory. And what we're going to end up seeing here is love gives. Now, we have well documented that love observes and sees a need and meets that need. But love gives. And that's what we're seeing right now. Jesus Christ doesn't need this glory in an absolute sense. But God the Father, out of his love, gives him this glory. And then in very point two, Jesus Christ in turn gives to us our eternal dwelling with him. Jesus Christ gives to us the glory, shares with us the glory given to him. John 17, 22. So we find here, in his, you got to just remember, please, he's about to die. These are pertinent things on his mind. So he's thinking about how God gives him this glory, and boy, he's going to give this glory to all who believe in him. And this brings us to point three. Then it was the desire of Jesus Christ that we be with him for all eternity. And this was also befitting the plan of God the Father. This was also in line with the plan of God the Father. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. My old age, I'm getting so frustrated that I can't just teach all of the books, and at least a lot of them. Hebrews chapter 2. I wish we, back in the old days, I taught about five or six nights a week, and three times on Sunday, and Judith asked me, where did you get the time to study? You study so much for three classes. I didn't live. And very much at all, but I just wish we could do that, because I have so much more to take into it. But look at Hebrews chapter 2, and let's look at verse 12, saying, I will proclaim thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing thy praises. So what the thing we're looking at here is that Jesus Christ desires we be with him, but this is also the desire of God the Father. Now look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. Keep going toward the back of your Bible, James, and then 1 and 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. We're all going to be partakers of this glory. I don't know what heaven's going to be like, and a lot of the personal things and the detailed things, but for this is just enough. We're going to be with him. He's already prayed that. Desire that they be with me. And we're going to share his glory that he has. He's going to share that glory with us. All right, point four. When we receive a resurrected body, we will receive the glory of Jesus Christ. When we receive a resurrected body, we will receive the glory of Jesus Christ. I have two important passages. The first one is 1 John. 1 John. chapter 3. If you can find Revelation, you can find 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. 1st John chapter 3, verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us. Now, he's given this glory because he loves Jesus Christ. Right now, he bestows on us that we should be called the children of God. And such we are by faith in Christ. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. And the second one is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And let's read together verses 42 through 43. 1 Corinthians 15, 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor. That means we live it in dishonor. It is raised in what? Glory. There's the glory that we will receive, the resurrection, the glory of Jesus Christ. It is shown in weakness. It is raised in power. So this is the glory that we're going to have from Jesus Christ. So point four, when we receive a resurrected body, we'll receive the glory of Jesus Christ. It's just amazing how these things are all just through the Scriptures, through the New Testament, Old Testament. And we can pull them out and, wow, start seeing what we're going to be like in the after death. Point five. Receiving this glory is part of the hope, confidence we are encouraged by in this life on earth. Receiving this glory is part of the hope and confidence which we're encouraged by in this life on earth. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Romans 5, 2. Don't get nervous. We're not going to stay there. Romans 5, 2. Verse 1 ends, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into the grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God that we're going to be receiving at the resurrection. Now, Alfred Plummer, I love Alfred Plummer's work. I wish he had done the entire New Testament, but he didn't. But I think I've got all the books that he did do. I found on the internet. Somebody was selling, it was in a big volume, you know, like 20 volumes, and they were selling Luke by itself. And boy, I bought that in a minute. I put it by now. And because what he does in his work, it's not like what we do here, or like anyone else, really. I don't know of anyone else that does it this way. But all he does is take the Greek words, not every word in every verse. He'll pick out some things that he feels are important. And he was a teacher of Greek, and he gives you some comments about it. So there's not very much on any one verse, but boy, sometimes he just yes, 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 let's go say that. And he just spent an hour, and all he's giving you maybe two or three words on the one passage. But I like the way Alfred Plummer says this. This state of the redeemed that we're talking about, closely corresponding to the kingdom of God, is called the glory of God, because, and that's in Romans 5, because as God's adopted sons, they share in the glory of the exalted Christ, which consist in fellowship with God. Just I think this is so beautiful. Just permit me to read it one more time. This state of the redeemed that we're talking about in glory, closely corresponding to the kingdom of God, is called the glory of God, because as God's adopted sons, they share in the glory of the exalted Christ, which consists in fellowship with God. And if you remember from our study in Revelation, in the New Jerusalem, in the middle of it, you've got the throne, and got God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ sitting on that throne, and we're all dwelling around Him. It's just going to be unbelievable what heaven's going to be like. And so let's look at point six. We walk and live by the leading of the Holy Spirit. We walk and we live by the leading of the Holy Spirit because of this glory that we're to receive for all eternity. And what I'm saying is, you can just squander your life off and do whatever you want to do. You can enjoy parts of this world if you want to just get away. Even I were talking about, her sister has this place in Tucson, outside of Tucson, Italy. And, oh, man, can I retire there? And just spend your life doing these kind of things. Or you can spend your life walking in the power of the Spirit, being led of the Spirit as to where He would want you to be. And we do this partly because of the glory we are to receive for all eternity. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 2. And if you're writing, 1 Thessalonians 2:12. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Verse Thessalonians 2:12, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Who calls you into his kingdom and into his glory. So what I'm trying to deal with now is, there a distinction between the glory of Jesus Christ that we're going to receive and the glory of God, or is this the same glory? And I'm working on that right now to try to figure out if there's even more radiance in regard to the two, or is it the same radiance that God the Father gives His Son and in turn gives to us, and so it's God's glory, Christ's glory and God's glory. So I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal, but it's just interesting thought. All right, point seven. One of the confident parts of the gospel is not just our salvation, but that Jesus Christ is going to give us His glory. Now let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2:14. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Another powerful passage dealing with the gospel. And it was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain, here's the goals now, it was for this, for what? That you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. People, it's not just a matter of being saved. We're called into His glory. And when we answer the gospel call, these are some of the things that we receive, is this glory. And finally, point eight, we will receive a body just like Jesus Christ in glory. Now, you attach the 1 John 3:1-3 with Philippians 3:21. So let's look at Philippians 3:21. All right. And, well, let's start at verse 20. Powerful passage in verse 20. I always like to remind people, our citizenship is in heaven. We're so concerned about aliens in this country, from south of the border or anywhere else. People, you and I are aliens. We're aliens down here. We're foreigners. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. I'll just be very honest with you. I looked and studied. I don't know how to explain that. This is one of those miracles. How this is going to happen. How our body is going to be taken up in the resurrection body. And He is going to, as it says here, look. Who will transform the body of our humble state. That's our body of corruption. Into conformity with the body of His glory. And He's going to do this by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. I don't know how He's going to do that. What power structure He's going to use. All I know is, people, we're going to have a resurrected body, and we're going to have glory. We're going to have His glory and have a body just like His. It is just unbelievable. Okay, what is heaven going to be like? Well, here's my answer. We will share the glory of Jesus Christ. And how many verses have we seen with that as the momentum of it? We will share the glory of Jesus Christ, and we will be with Him forever. People, I have family and friends, and yes, I hope to see them, but this is just beyond all of that. The hope, the confidence, the assurance, the joy, the anticipation. We're going to see Him as He is. We're going to be just like Him. We're going to share in His glory. That's just astounding. Why He would share His glory with a sinner like me, I don't know. But He has chosen to do so. God the Father takes every one of us, gives every one of us to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives to us His glory. And then He says, now Father, here's what I desire. I desire that they be with me forever. Wherever I am. People, that's astounding that He wants to be with us and we with Him forever. And that's what the New Jerusalem is going to be like. All right, our passage in, let's go back to John 17. John 17, Father, verse 24, Father, those You've given me, we're on His mind. He's getting ready to be crucified, be beaten, trials, all these things were on His mind. Those You have given to me, I desire that where I am myself, these also may be with me, in order that they may behold my glory, which You have given to me, for You did love me before the foundation of the world. Okay, let's look at the phrase, for You did love me. This phrase begins with a causal conjunction. That's the hade isn't important, but it's a causal conjunction. Because You, the Father, did love me. Okay, here's your principle. Love acts. If it's spiritual love, it acts. If it's divine love, it acts. Love gives. Love gives. We have often seen that spiritual love sees a need. What's the first thing about spiritual love? Spiritual love sees a need. It's observant. That's the most important thing. And it should be human love also. Husband, wife, parent, child. Love observes. And love sees a need. And then love meets that need. But here's another aspect of love. Love gives. Love sees a need and meets that need, but love gives. It's not always that love gives only what is needed. It goes way beyond what is needed. But love gives beyond the very need that is there. The love of God overflows. Years ago, I used as an example when I was a little kid. Just loved. When mother would make a chocolate-covered cake. And I love, she wasn't fancy like these, you know, like get in the store and all. It would be the three or four, and I didn't care about the layers and all that. But boy, when she took that pot with the chocolate, maybe with nuts in it or something, and she just poured, and it would just ooze over, and it would overflow. And that's the part we got right there. We couldn't dip our finger into the cake, but on that wax paper. Remember they used to have wax paper? Do they still have that anymore? It was so much just oozed over. People, his love overflows. That's how rich it is. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. But here God sees a need and gives what is needed. He saw the world lost, and he wanted a relationship with us. Why? I don't know. That's the mystery of love to me. But he wanted a relationship with us, and he sent his Son to provide it. But now we have another view of love. Love gives. Love responds. Love gives. Now, I asked this earlier, but now it fits into where I have it in my notes. Did Jesus Christ need this glory? In an absolute sense, no. Not in an absolute sense. But God responds to all that Jesus Christ has done for him, coming to earth, taking the form of a servant. That's just amazing. God taking the form of a man to be the servant of mankind. That's just, it boggles the mind. And then as our servant died on a cross, taking away all the personal sins of the world, clearing away the barrier between God and man, that God, man may be restored to God. That God, out of his love, sees all of this and gives Jesus Christ this glory. Look at the phrase, because you did love me. Aorist active, indicative of agapao, referring to divine love. Remember, we have three categories of love. We've got divine love, we've got human love, and then we've got spiritual love, which is a love that comes out of a born-again believer only, and only the believer filled with the Holy Spirit, and has spiritual impact. That's why I came up with spiritual love, because it's of the Holy Spirit in a spiritual creature and has spiritual impact. But here we're talking about divine love. Now, what about this aorist active indicative? Okay, let me just tell you, I'm going to blend them all together for one of the rare times I do this. The aorist active indicative states a fact. It has nothing to do with time. It has nothing to do, it's just, there it is, boom. And that's what the aorist active indicative says. It's the reality of God's love for his Son. Now look what he says. Before the foundation of the world. Now, in the Greek, this is beautiful. We have a preposition pro, P-R-O. And you know what pro means. Pro means before. That's what pro is. And so that's what the connotation of this word is. But people, this is very important theologically. Let me show you why. In reference to the deity of Jesus Christ, the preposition pro is used primarily for three uses. One of three uses. Spatial, before. Temporal, before. 1 o'clock comes before two. Or rank. The general before the lieutenant colonel. So you have those kind of things. Now here it is used temporally. This is very important theologically. Want to think theologically? This is important theologically. Before time ever began, Jesus Christ was. That's why it's before. That's why it's so important. Before the foundation of the world. So when it says before here, it's talking about a temporal before. Before in time. Jesus Christ is saying that he existed and was loved by God the Father before time ever began, before the foundation of the world was laid. That's beyond our imagination. That's beyond our ability to comprehend. Before all things, before the galaxies, the universes, and all of these things, God loved Jesus Christ. The love has always been there. So Jesus Christ as God has always existed, the same as God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the more difficult things that you have to deal with in dealing with this in Jesus Christ, it gets back to your question, Chris, and that is people, sometime in his humanity, Jesus Christ spoke from his deity. Sometime. And so when you're reading the text, you've got to know. John and I have had a lot of fun. He'll be working on a passage, or I'll be with college. And is this the humanity? Is this the humanity filled with the Spirit? Is this the Holy Spirit speak? Or is this his deity? Because he's used his deity. And it's very different. It's one of those mysteries. Getting into the meat doctrines from Sunday morning study. This isn't milk. And you've got to understand that he was both God and man in one person. And sometimes he spoke from his humanity. Sometimes he spoke from his deity. His humanity when he was filled with the Spirit. Like John and I had a really interesting discussion some time ago in the miracles. Well, now, were some of those miracles just the work of the Holy Spirit? Or were some of them just he did it out of his deity for the cross? I am God. I am God. So these are the kinds of things that you want to enrich and look at with these things as they come into being. Now it says, before the time of the foundation of the world. Before the time of the foundation of the world. Now the foundation of the world is kata bole. It means to cast down, means to lay down. In the New Testament, it refers to absolute beginnings. This is what one of the lexicons, the dictionaries, said. The absolute beginning of the world, referring here to planet Earth. The same Earth that the Holy Spirit restored in 6 days. So this is what we're dealing with now. And I'm ready to go in through several sub-points here and I would have time for one or two points, and then we'd come back and I'd give them. So we'll just start here next, not next Wednesday night. I'll be in Houston at a pastor's conference, and I'll share with you what I can't let you go early. Let me just share with you what the pastor's conference is going to be about. And John and I kind of know what they're going to say, and we have our own opinion. We just hope they don't ask us. And what is the role of the pastor in politics and in the economy and in the government of the world? What is the role of the pastor? And I just cannot restrain myself, because prior to that, what have we been studying in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? I want them to know one thing and only one thing, Christ and this one crucified. And to me, people, if America would get back and understand Jesus Christ and this one crucified, it would solve a lot of the other problems. I don't need to talk about the politics, the economics, this and that. Talk about Christ and this one crucified. And if people would believe that, start living that pattern of life, it would change all these things. So please be in prayer for us next week. And so we'll do this next 2 weeks from now, and do it.
When you were talking about the deity and so forth, you'll never figure it out, correct?
No. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. There are so many mysteries in this book. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I was taking it to another level of giving. Okay, well, let me see if I can help you. Again, that's why in passage, does Jesus Christ need this glory? Okay, that's what I was saying. So God, love gives even what's not needed. And you know, That old woman that reared me, I love her. So many times, we didn't ask for something, but she gave, and we didn't need it. We didn't need it, but it was there to give it. And that's what love does. Love gives, sees a need and meets a need, but then love also just gives out of its love. So, yes. We'll come to that next week. 2 weeks. Yes. Yes. Well, you and Chris are going to steal my thunder. I got some points here. Answer what y'all got questions there. Well, I got to serve it on a plate with all the radish and things around it. Yeah. I got a server with 10 things around it. 10 points. Okay. Thank you very much, Kit. And thank y'all. And let's go into prayer. Closing, Father. There's a Bible class going on right now in Colorado. Pray your spirit. Even though some of them may not even know how to be filled with your spirit or whatever, but your spirit will move. Some wonderful things will happen. And Father, right here, we pray for Julie, her two friends, to open the text and share it with other people, Father. It's one of the greatest joys we have on earth. So I pray you'll be with Julie and guide her. Pray you're working right now in Colorado. Father, it's just breathtaking to think about eternity. Receiving your glory. Receiving the glory that you, out of your love, gave to your Son. And He gave out of His love to us the same glory. What peace. What unbelievable peace if we comprehend this and become a vivid reality to us. What peace we'd have with all of the troubles that we might come upon us in this world. Can't touch me. Can't bother me. Going to have the glory that the Father gave my Savior. And not only that, Father, going to be with Him forever. And not only that, going to be like Him. It's just overwhelming, the things that we learn about heaven, about ourselves in eternity. Father, we thank you for the love of you had for your Son. We thank you for your love, your Son's love. We thank you, Father, for opening these things up to us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.